coming down on a sunny day.
Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see all of you. I'm Jack Crabtree. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock. And we've been talking about storms all summer long and how to get ready and how to get through them and how to handle them. And everywhere I go, it seems a good way to start a conversation and just talk about people, what storms are coming, what storms they've been through. Everybody's got a story to tell. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about how storms help us in our faith. And well, I'm going to just ask you, how many of you would like to have a stronger faith? Anybody here? Well, look, I got a ready audience, okay? You guys look very receptive. If I was a salesman, I'd be like, yeah, here we go. They all want to buy. Well, the thing about it is, what I'm going to sell you this morning, maybe, I don't know if you're going to be that interested. Because it's we're basically saying that some of the ways that we really get a stronger faith is by going through difficulties and trials and trouble. In fact, if you've been paying attention, you've been singing. We've been singing about stepping out. We've been singing about, you know, going through difficulties and struggles. What Pastor Jerry read this morning, kind of giving you a hint that maybe the way to a stronger faith isn't by taking the easy road, but by maybe taking the hard road. Now, some of you know I've learned a lot of things on bicycle trips. Two years ago, Billy Harding and I went over to Pennsylvania. We got on something called the Allegheny Passage. It's a bike trail, runs from Pittsburgh all the way down to Cumberland, Maryland. And so, you know, we spent 3 days over there riding the bike trail and then covering those states. Here's a picture of Billy. We made it to the top of the Continental Divide on the East Coast, which isn't very high, but it's still the Continental Divide. But I wanted you to know, can you see that smile on Billy's face? You know, a lot of times when you go biking, you don't smile that much, okay? But Billy's really smiling here. I think he's smiling because of that red arrow. Can you see that red arrow above him? Kind of the map in terms of for us. That red arrow kind of says, you are here. Do you see where we are? We're going left on that map, and we're going to go downhill. Back to we got it back on our bikes. We went downhill for like an hour, you know, and we're like, if you ever want to make a biker smile, just show them a map like this, all right? Now, I've always wondered what Billy's face would look like if the arrow had been at the bottom of the hill, pointing up, right? The guy going, you are here, knowing that the next journey of our trip was going to be having to make it all the way to the top with all that. Well, guess what? You know, these whole things, you know, we understand that somehow, you know, we like it when life is easy. In fact, I think in some of these big resorts sometimes, what are the things that they offer you? I think if you go to Hawaii, they'll offer you an excursion to go up to the Mount Haleakala, big volcano, and they'll take you up and they'll give you a bike and they'll let you go down, ride 25 miles down from the top of the mountain. And somebody said, don't you want to go biking there? I said, well, that's not really biking. That's more like braking. You know, I think it would be better if you had to ride to the top. Then you get the reward to come down the other side with all. Well, listen, you know, here's the question. Would you like to have an easier life or a harder life? And the question this morning really is, do you think when by becoming a Christian, by putting your faith in Jesus and following him, is your life easier or is it harder? Oh, I made it a true for a false question. How many of you think becoming a Christian makes your life easier? True? False? Oh, nobody's voting here, okay? You're like, this is a trick question, right? Because I guess, you know, in some ways it's like, short term, maybe it is harder. You know, maybe it is more persecution. Maybe it is more struggle. Maybe it is, you know, but maybe long term, looking at what the full results of this, and what if we really understand what it's like to really walk with Christ, maybe it is easier. Some of us have been in some hard situations. We've been in some real battles in our life. Coming to Christ has been one of the best things we've ever done. And yet we still struggle with all of these things. So this morning we're going to look at the book of James. It's one of the last books in the New Testament. And you can find it if you want to use the Shelter Rock Bible. It's page 1216. And James is Jesus' brother, his younger brother. This is, you know, Jesus was the firstborn for Joseph and Mary. Mary and really Mary and the Holy Spirit. And then with Joseph and Mary, they had other children. And James is one of these, like Jesus' half-brother. He really didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he really was the Son of God, until after the resurrection. And when Jesus was resurrected, and he saw that James realized who he was, he became a believer in his brother, and he became a leader in the church in Jerusalem. And he writes this book of James. It's five chapters. It's, I think, about 78 verses, and half of the verses are all about saying, hey, do this. Make your faith really real and practical. It's probably one of the first books written in the New Testament. And it's some people would say it's the least theological book. It's not big ideas off in the clouds. It says, hey, you want to live life? You want to live life for Jesus? You want to live life the way God wants? Well, just do this. So you'll see this morning when we jump here in chapter 1, verse 2, he gets right to the point. Here's what he says. He says, Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Bingo. He's basically saying, guess what? You're going to have storms and trouble in your life. But be happy about it. It's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. Now, some of you don't look like you're buying now, okay? Look like you're like, look, when's this going to be over? Let's get out of here, all right? You're telling me I'm going to have a hard, if I follow Jesus, I'm going to have a harder life? James says, listen, when these storms, these troubles, these trials come against you, he said, you ought to count it as pure joy. You ought to say, oh, yes. This is what I've been waiting for. This is gonna be fantastic. How many of you feel that way, right? I know I didn't feel that way when I fell down the steps. And they told me I broke my back, and they told me what I wasn't gonna be able to do. And I started thinking of all the things I had planned for this spring and all the things I was looking forward to. And I was thinking, God, why do you do this to me, right? You've probably had those disappointments in your life where you've kind of wondered and kind of said, God, I don't get it. You know, here I am, I'm trying to be good. I go to church, I've been praying. And how come bad things are happening in my life? Well, James is saying us, listen, let this happen in your life. You ought to be happy about this, because he says, listen, the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. Perseverance is a word for like, we never give up. We just keep going. We have endurance. Nothing stops us. And he said, and let this perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. In other words, to be the person that God really wants you to be, he's going to let you go through these trials and these problems, because this is what's going to really make you more and more like him. That's really your goal, to become like Jesus. Guess what? He's going to take you through all these things and help you in this way. You see, our trials test our faith. You know, you might look at all this and say, why in the world would he call them joyful? Well, they're joyful because what they do is they cause us to have a deeper trust in God. Because when we're in trouble, that's when we really call on God, right? When we can handle life and everything's easy, we just kind of relax and kind of, you know, nothing really happens. But guess what? When we're really in trouble, we say, God, I need you. I want your help. I can't do this by myself. And so the deeper trust that we get comes from these troubles. And so sometimes we should call our worst moments our best moments, because these trials help us to come closer to him. We sang that this morning, you know, when we're stepping out, when we're in trouble, the faith is building up in us, and God's helping us to trust him more. So what does he do? Well, our trials build our faith. They make us stronger. And so the way that we really grow stronger is that we really put our trust in him. And because we go through these things, our faith in him grows. We see that God's ways really do work, that he really does answer our prayers. He's not always on our schedule. He's not always doesn't do things exactly the same time we want it to be done. But when we stop and realize that, you know, when we're praying, he really is hearing, he's working it out, and that somehow he pulls these things together. He makes us stronger through all of this. In fact, this verse says, you know, that perfection, complete maturity, is only found, you know, when we really trust him more. We grow our faith to become more and more like him. And this endurance, this steadfastness, this perseverance that he gives us the ability to trust God more and more. I mean, a runner, one of the things runners do is they build endurance, right? They run so they can keep on running. They put their muscles and their breathing and everything in gear. They put themselves in these situations that are uncomfortable, that are painful, that tire them out. Why? Because they get stronger through all of this. And so God says he wants us to go through this same thing. He doesn't want to protect us from these things of life. He puts us into the battle and says, you're going to get stronger through all of this. I went to see my little grandson last week. And I haven't been able to hold him in my hands. I haven't been able to pick him up. But I took him out. He's got a little gym, little play gym already in the house where they are. It's a little advanced for him, but he's already interested in it. And he wants to start climbing things and moving around and doing other things. Now, it's his grandfather's chair. I go, no, don't touch that. Don't touch. You might get hurt, okay? Should I protect him and kind of, you know, not let him get close to that? No, he wants to, you know, the way he's going to grow up to really be a boy, to really be a young man, to really be a man who's strong, why? He's got to get out there. He's got to walk, he's got to climb, he's got to run, and he's going to fall down, and he's going to get bumped a little bit, and he's going to cry a little bit, and he's going to bleed maybe, you know, before this is all over. But that's all going to be good, right? I wouldn't be doing him any favors if I said, no, I'm putting a little, I bought this little box, and you're going to live inside this box, and we'll bring you food, and, you know, we'll sing you a song every now and then, and you just stay inside that box. No. He's got to get out, and guess what? God takes us in our life. He doesn't build some kind of protection around us. He puts us out there in the real world where people bump us, and knock us around, and we have disappointments, we have struggles, we have hurts and problems. Why? Because he wants us to get stronger in him. He wants us to get closer to him. He wants to guide us and help us. He wants us to be all that he's created us to be. I don't know if you know this or not. We have a little gym downstairs here in the building, right below where we are. It's a little weight room. And I don't know, they've been taking some pictures down there. I don't know whether these pictures will you recognize me or not. But take a look on the screen, okay? Because some Tuesday mornings we have, sometimes our men get together to have Bible study. And then on after the Bible study, we go downstairs and lift weights. And so after we go down and lift the weights, we've got one of our guys is a trainer, Mike Riccardi, and so he gives us instructions. Now, which one looks more like me? You got to figure it out. I know. Mike goes down. Mike's good for us, but he gives us the truth. He kind of hits us right between the eyes, and he says, Jack, the whole point of being down here is that we're trying to reach the point of muscle failure. I go, Mike, what's muscle failure? He says, it's when your body says, I can't do any more. I said, I hate that feeling, okay? I do everything in my power to avoid that at all costs, okay? He said, I know, Jack, that's why we got you down here, right? You're going to get stronger. He says, I'm going to put weight. He doesn't put so much weight on that you can't lift. He's not trying to hurt you. But if he sees me go all the way through, he goes, Jack, you need more weight. We're going to put more resistance on here. Because, you know, I want you to get to the point at the rep 7, 8, 9, and 10 that you're really struggling to get this up, okay? Because that means your muscles are really, you're reaching that point where, muscle failure, right? And he says, we're going to keep doing that. Because once you reach that point, we'll be there to help you, okay? But guess what? That's the only thing that helps make you stronger. I like to go down sometimes on Tuesdays and take the weight off, okay? I say, I can do my whole workout here in about 20 minutes, and I just take a weight off, and I go, da-da-da-da-da, this is nice. I'm just laughing and talking, and it's like I'm doing all the exercises, but I'm not really pushing the weight. And Mike looks at me and says, hey, look, you're making a decision to be weaker. You know, why not make the decision to be stronger? Why not make the decision to look better? Why not make the decision to, you know, to have more capabilities? You know, to get in this situation, you know, don't take it easy. You know, let a little pain be in your life. In fact, there's a sign downstairs, if you're going to go down and see it, it says, there right above the weights, it says, pain is weakness leaving the body. And I'm going, oh boy. None of us want to go through that, right? But God, but we have the opportunity. And spiritually speaking, I think what God wants to do is he wants to take us through life and kind of stretch us out. He wants to put us, you know, in a situation where it's going to hurt a little bit. Because it'll make us stronger. It'll bring us closer to him. And we'll see the resources that we have in him. Now, I'm going to give you four big truths this morning, okay? So here's truth number one. Number one is this. Trials are to be expected. Don't think because somehow you've come to church and you do some praying during the week that somehow God's going to like eliminate all the trials in your life. No, trials are going to be here. Don't be surprised by it. You're going to have trouble. And it's going to be challenging. But they are, well, they're a required course in the school of faith. Nobody who really has faith, you know, somehow gets away from all this. There are times when we as Christians, as followers, as believers, we get angry with God. We get confused. We get upset. You know, we say, God, how could you let this happen? I've been reading my Bible. I've been going to church. I've been trying to do what Pastor Jerry and Pastor Jack say. But now, how do you let this happen to me? And we get really mad about, you know, whatever situation is, this reversal we've had or some problem that we're going through with all these things. And the Bible sometimes tells us that, you know, sometimes it's the consequences of our actions that we're, you know, we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we get, you know, the results of that. But many other times it's not related to what we do. It's just life. It just comes. You know, they diagnose us and we've got cancer. They diagnose our finances, you know, are taking a dip. We have people that we thought we could trust who are either lying about us or betraying us. I mean, all these things kind of go on with all this. And we kind of wonder, how do we get through this? Trials come to everybody, even people who have faith, okay? Sometimes maybe even more. Here's the second big truth. Second big truth is this, that counting it all joy doesn't really require us to deny our emotional pain. Because we do get hurt. When people that we know and love die, we cry. That doesn't mean that we're not trusting God. When we lose a job or we get turned down from a position that we were hoping we were going to get, and we're sad about that whole thing, it's not a matter that somehow God says, oh, just put on a happy face. Everything's fine. No, no, no. It hurts to be rejected. But sometimes what God wants us to do, look at Jesus' example. When he came and Lazarus, his friend Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary, his sisters, were crying, Jesus didn't come and say, stop crying, you know, like, get over it. Come on. No, no, he let them cry. In fact, Jesus cried too. He wept about Lazarus' death. And so it's okay to be sad about what's going on. That doesn't mean you're giving up. It just means that's the emotions about where you're at with all of this. And when Jesus felt the pressure, remember when he was in the garden, the night he was arrested, the day before he's going to be crucified, he felt all the pressure coming down on him, and he's like, Father, I don't... If there's any way we can do this without me having to die on the cross, please take this away from me. I mean, he was anxious, concerned, upset about all this. He said he even sweat drops of blood. That's how upset he was. So, you know, counting it all joy, doing what it is that God wants us to do, doesn't say we have to always have a happy face on. Sometimes it just says, well, you know, we're going to go through it. We're human beings, and we're going to feel the pressure, but guess what? We're going to still trust God. And that leads us to big truth number three. Sometimes this joyful truth that we have, this joyful spirit that we have, to being able to look at these situations, isn't a matter that somehow we're kind of denying reality. The Bible says we don't grieve as other people grieve, others who have no hope. So that sometimes when we grieve, guess what? Underneath our grief and our tears, there's a confidence that somehow God's going to work this out. You get laid off from your job, they basically say, we're not coming back. You're kind of wondering, where am I going to go now? You're grieving. You're upset about this whole thing. But somehow having faith says, in the midst of this, I believe that God's going to open another door. God's going to take me another place. It's going to work out for all these things. You know that verse in the Bible, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We've got confidence that God's going to put this together. Something good is going to come out of this. I was thinking, now, gee, who do I know that's had something bad happen to them that everyone said, oh, that's terrible, that something good came out of all that? Who could that be? Oh, yeah, I guess I shouldn't forget, right? When they came and told me, we took the picture of your back and your kidney was photobombing in the back, saying, hey, look at me. I got problems down here, right? And they found the cancer in my kidney. And kind of worked through this whole thing. And when they told Becky, they thought she was going to melt down. And Becky said, that's great. They're thinking, oh, no, wow, what's going on with this family? She says, no, good. God's working this out. And, you know, every doctor that came through in the hospital looked at my chart and said, boy, that fall you took, that saved your life. Think about it. In your life, whatever your situation is, you might look back at the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or the disappointment, something you've had, an illness to struggle with, all that. God's using all this somehow to make good come out of it. We don't know exactly how and when and that all works, but he does this. And we can put our trust in him. Underneath the surface, God's at work. Here's the last big truth, okay? And that is that this whole idea of seeing things, seeing our trouble with a joyful heart, and kind of counting it all joy, guess what? It's a deliberate choice. You and I get to decide, whatever situation we're in, am I going to trust God or am I not going to trust God? Am I going to say, God, this hurts, and I don't think I'm having muscle failure here. I don't know how much more I can do, but I'm going to keep going with you. I'm going to ask you to help me. Or are we going to say, okay, that's it, God, I've had it. You know, I give up on you. This whole thing's a big mess, and what are we going to choose? Which direction are we going to go? And we do have a choice. And I think we should count it all as joy. You know, God uses these trials to test our faith, to produce endurance. And I like this at the bottom of this little slide there where it says, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It's the endurance. It's that willingness to not give up in all of these things. And so that we can have a peace in our heart, that we can go through things and not be worried about what's happening, that we can have this calmness. Some people, you know, one of the best signs you can see in a Christian's life is that when everybody else is going crazy, that they just seem like, you know, they're very much tuned in to what's going on, but they're not coming unglued. They've got this confidence that somehow God's going to work this whole thing out. You might call it spiritual toughness, right? That we're getting tough on the inside, that we're learning to hang on to these things, that we're not easily provoked by difficult people or by dangerous situations, that we endure. We don't lose heart under great trials with all of these things. The fact, you know, that we keep pushing forward. A number of us have gotten involved in running because of this church. In fact, I think there's another race coming up this fall where raising money for World Vision, drilling wells in Africa and raising money for all of that. I did a half marathon here a couple of years ago. Pastor Jerry actually committed me here on the stage. We were standing here together, and he was encouraging all of you to sign up. And he says, and I'm sure Pastor Jack's going to be there signed up. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm not a runner. Are you kidding? But I was signed up from that point on, right? Everybody said, Pastor Jack's doing it. Pastor Jerry said, right? Well, that year was the hardest year to train. I think the race was in March, and January and February, it snowed, we had ice, it rained. There were never any good days to get out and get ready for all this. And so I'm trying to get ready, and I'm going, I can't do this. You know, this is going to, and I'm thinking about the failure, and it's going to be a disaster, and I'm not ready, and I'm trying to push myself to run a mile farther, and the pain is, I'm just thinking, I can't. And finally, a couple guys from the church, one of the guys from the Bible study, took me over to to his health club. He put me on the treadmill, and he was right beside me. He says, okay, Jack, we're going to run 10 minutes, then we're going to walk for 3 minutes, then we're going to run 10 minutes. And then he starts my treadmill up. He says, let's go, Jack. And we're running through this whole thing. He slows me down. Then he speeds me up again. And he says, we're not done yet. Come on, let's keep going with it. And you know what? He says, you're going to be back 2 days from now. Come on back. And he started carrying me through. And another guy came to me and said, Jack, I'm going to be in the race too. I ran it a couple of years ago. And you know what? You can do this. He said, in fact, I'll tell you this, I'm going to stay with you the whole race. I'll be with you. You'll never be by yourself. And I'll help you get through all that. And you know, he did do that. I mean, the thing that scares me about a race like that is that I'm going to get out there in the middle of it and I'm going to collapse. Or I'm going to want to give up. I'm going to look, where is the subway stop, you know? How do I get home from here, right? Well, you know, we're all afraid of failing. We're all afraid of not having the capacity to do this. And, you know, in whatever situation, whether it's relationally, emotionally, physically, you always say, I'm not strong enough to really get through all of this. You're probably right. But that's why we need God to come along. That's why we need to put our trust in Jesus. That's why we need to grow kind of step by step to get stronger, that he will go with us. That he will be there with us, that he'll be with us all the way to the end of the race. And when we get there, we'll turn and we'll look and say, I can't believe I made it. And he said, I knew you could. And so God wants to give us that kind of toughness. That's what it really means to kind of be like Jesus, to become like him. That's really God's goal for us. So when a trial comes, respond with joy, understanding that truth that God is going to use it to develop an enduring faith in us. Some of you are in big trials. Some of you have had some terrible things happen to you. And you're kind of wondering, hey, is this kind of wrecked my whole life? Maybe God's going to use it to do something different, something special in your life that he couldn't do through anybody else. God has a way of doing that. So when trials come, just respond with joy. Just say, God, I was expecting this. Now just show me how to be closer to you and walk with you and be more obedient to you. Give me the strength that I need. Help me to grow deeper in my faith with all of that. You know, this week, as I was getting ready for this, I was thinking, now the people in our church, are they really growing and helping? Is God really working in their lives? And so I just kind of threw out a little help Jack notice. And I had a number of people write back to me about their faith and the struggles that they've gone through. Can I share a few of them with you? These are people in Shelter Rock. Some of them are here this morning, okay? A lady wrote to me and said, Jack, I unexpectedly sold my house a couple months ago. I wasn't sure where I was going to end up. I had very limited funds, but I searched. I did a lot of praying, asking the Lord for guidance. I found a condo, but guess what? It all fell through in negotiations. I lost it. But I prayed, and I had faith, and God made it possible for me to get another condo. I'll be closing on it in September. It's just one example of how prayer and trusting in God has really worked in my life. There are many. God is great, and the power of prayer is so strong. There's another lady who wrote to me. She said, my husband and I both lost our jobs. And losing our jobs, we lost a lot of money. And we had a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. It kind of brought out a lot of weaknesses in our marriage. And we were wondering if we were going to be able to make it through. It says, but we made some heartfelt prayers to God. And suddenly, he kind of opened his storehouse of job opportunities. He gave us purpose and adventure. He taught us to be good stewards of our money. He provided for our needs, and he helped us. Our broken marriage has now grown into one with intimacy. It's helped us to understand our roles as husbands and wives. It's helped us in many, many ways. Are we perfect? By no means. But now we're learning to trust God with everything in our lives. We live day to day with hope and expectation that God has made a way for us. In Jesus, I found my identity, and my husband lost his pride and gained peace. And I think what it took was being out on the edge and having this risky situation and just trusting God to put his loving arms around us and help us through all this. Pretty impressive, huh? Another man wrote and said, I was a new Christian in 1980. I just purchased a home and started a new job. After a few months, I couldn't make the mortgage payments. I fell behind, and my old job sent me a check. I called them and said, you must be making a mistake. I've already received all my compensation. And they said, yeah, it was a mistake, but go ahead and keep the money anyway. So then my new boss decided to give me a raise. It was almost the same amount that I needed for my monthly payment for my house. Praise God. So I wrote him back and I said, what did you learn out of all this? He wrote me back. He said, I was encouraged to trust God and to seek him even more diligently, even through more prayer and more time in his word. I saw God as a provider. He was gracious. He was extravagant. He was abundant to me. He gave me more than I needed. He brought peace into my life. He gave me rest. And now I sing and dance and celebrate because God is faithful to all of our needs. And it's impossible to deplete God's supply. There's another one. A man came and said, in March 2014, I came back to church after 20 years of being away. I resumed tithing. That's an act of faith, right? I resumed tithing after counseling with two of my trusted brothers at Shelter Rock. And now I'm relying on God's promises from Malachi chapter 3. Within 8 months, I landed the biggest account of my career, and I received nationwide recognition within my company. This taught me that God is faithful. He will not disappoint those who trust in him and who rely on his promises. Here's another one. A man writes and said, Jack, I had to confess infidelity to my wife. Talk about a storm. That's a storm right there. He said, but my poor choices brought us together, and both my wife and I were on our knees asking God to forgive us and to rebuild our lives. Today, this amazing woman and I are working together to rely on Jesus for everything. Here's one, two more. A man writes and says, when I was told I had cancer, I had two choices, trust God or not trust God. I chose to put my trust in my Lord and Savior, to do it unconditionally. I trusted him and his plan and never questioned him. Then he writes from Psalm 62, truly he, God, is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. And he goes back and he writes, through my pain and suffering, I was able to find true peace through Jesus, and I was not shaken. Today, I'm able to glorify him through my testimony, and he's my living hope. One more, okay? A lady writes and says, after several years of serious challenges, we lost our family business, we lost all of our finances, and finally we lost our house. As we went into foreclosure, we were sick about where we were going to live and where we were going to go. We were trying to look for places and it just never felt good. We even felt physically sick, emotionally upset. And we were feeling like we didn't know where to go. And finally we just said, let's wait. Let's wait and pray that something right will come along. So after a lot of praying and having a lot of faith, the following week, a perfect house on a perfect street, along with all the other things that were in line with what our needs were, we found a house. And it was without a doubt an answer to from our Heavenly Father. There was no other explanation for it. We're so grateful. We're doing okay. Okay, we're still settling in, and we're in a state of recovery, but things are definitely looking up. God definitely knows what we need. He hears our prayers, and He absolutely provides. What do you say to that? Amen, right? Amen. We have a God who loves us and provides for us. He promises to be with us even when the biggest storms are going on, to help us through. And I know, I look out here, I see many of the rest of you. You could tell the same stories. God uses our trouble to make even better things happen. Ravi Zacharias, who I look up to a great deal, he's a great Christian apologist, travels all over the world and speaks in colleges and universities and talks about why we can believe in God. The question always comes up to him like, well, what about suffering? How can there be a good God if when people have to suffer and people go through loss? And he says, my answer is I look to the people who've been through suffering and I look to see how they've handled all of this. And he says, I read a book about a young woman named Annie Johnson Flint. He said she lived from 1866 to 1932. She's one of these people that you would look to and kind of say, oh, her life can't really be all that good. She had rheumatoid arthritis. She had all kinds of problems. She had cancer. She had problems with blindness. She had, because she was in a wheelchair most of her life, she had boils and bed sores. You would think that this is a woman who's absolutely miserable and absolutely, you know, distraught and torn apart. But this lady, Annie, wrote over 1,400 poems talking about her relationship and her faith with God. And she said that God gave her grace. Can you imagine in the middle of having a life where you're stuck in a wheelchair back in the 1800s? Without all the medical help, and yet she still had joy in her life. She saw this as something that God was using to make her who He wanted her to be. She wrote a very memorable poem that often has become a hymn in the church called He Giveth More Grace. Well, listen to these words from Annie. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labor increase. To added affliction, He adds His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our resource of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, a lot of us feel overwhelmed because of the struggles and the trials that are a part of our life. Some of us have grown discouraged, and some of us have almost given up. But Father, we thank You for Your word today. You've been very upfront with us, You told us, you told your disciples that we would have trials and troubles and tribulation, but to cheer up, because you would be here with us. You've overcome the world. And this morning, as we read that that these trials that we go through, that you use them to build endurance in us and perseverance, so that we can become who you want us to be. We can become like Jesus, that we can have his peace, that we can have his power, that we can have his ability to be able to handle all these circumstances in life. And that you're using these things to draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we want it. We want our faith to be stronger. And so we ask that you would help us in the battle that we face every day. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you. We thank you for how you came and lived in our world with all its pressures, and how you were obedient to the Father, that you didn't run away from the problems. You didn't run away from the beatings. You didn't run away from the betrayal. You didn't run away from even the death on the cross, but that you followed it all the way because it had great benefit for us. It paid for our sins and gave us redemption and forgiveness and salvation. And so, Jesus, thank you for your example to us. Help us now to live for you. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.